Welcome back to Hidden Treasures of the Midrash series. We had a little bit of a hiatus, but we're back on. But again, just to keep the Masorah of not having copies for everyone, so you know, we'll at least we'll retain that a little bit. So we're just going to take a look at a few Midrashim at the beginning of Midrash Rabbah. I thought some very interesting points, and learn a little bit about Musar. I don't intend to give Musar tonight. Sometimes it happens by accident. But interesting Midrashim. So let's take a look. One thing that it starts off with I just thought was very interesting is that the Parsha Aleph, Psik Aleph. So it's on Elah HaDvarim. So it talks about some of the greatness of the Torah. And one of the things that like a highlight that shows how great the Torah is. What does it say about Moshe before he was zocha to the Torah? Before Moshe, pre Torah, lo ish dvarim anochi. He says, "I am not an ish dvarim." What's an ish dvarim?
Man of words,
right? What's the classical understanding of that phrase?
Order.
Right, I'm not an order. What's the midrashic understanding of that? He had some sort of speech impediment. He had a lisp, a stutter, or a combination, right? He had some sort of speech impediment. But he says, "Ish dvar manochi." But then this is midrash. Kevan shezachal Torah, nisrape l'shono v'hischil l'daber dvarim. But once he received the Torah, his tongue was healed, and he began. So it sounds like it's the midrashic interpretation. Tongue was healed, and he began to speak words. Minayin, Rimasha Karina Be'inyan, Ela Dvar Masher Asher Diber Moshe. How do we see that? Because the pasuk says it opens up Ela Dvarim. So Moshe says, "No, Lo Ish Dvarim Anochi. I'm not an Ish Dvarim." And then we have an entire sefer called Sefer Dvarim, where the entire sefer is came out. The entire sefer is a monologue. Moshe Rabbeinu talking. So it's I thought that was just a fascinating point, you know, to see it come full circle of like basically one of the earliest stories we know about Moshe Rabbeinu, midrashically speaking, and if you go all the way back to the parsha that introduces Moshe Rabbeinu, which is every parsha Shemos, and you see Lo Ish Dvarim Anochi, and then we see Moshe is actually indeed an Ish Dvarim. He is literally the Ish Dvarim. He is the man of Sefer Dvarim. So I thought that was very interesting. Now let's move on to Psik Beis. The rest of them are going to be a little bit more connected to each other, but I wanted to start off with that. It's a fascinating ha'ara of Chazal. So it says, "Dvar achar ela dvarim, zeh shenemar mochiach adam acharai, chein yimatzeh memachlik lashon." It's a pasuk in Mishlei. So Rabbi Pinchas b'shem Rabbi Chama bar Chanina amar mochiach zeh Moshe. So this pasuk talks about a mochiach. A mochiach is a rebuker, one who rebukes. Right? It says the pasuk says, "Mochiach adam acharai." A man gives tochacha, who gives rebuke after me. So chayin yimsav imachlik lashon, right? So there will be favor, grace found from one who has an articulate tongue. So what is acharai? Mahu acharai? Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu b'shvil lehevin acharai, because you bring them after me, meaning people who give rebuke to follow after me. Chayin yimatzeh, so zeh Moshe v'gam asasi chayin beinai. Okay. Just want to go into a later interpretation. Adam Acharai, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Simon, Mahu Acharai, Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachol Moshe Hochichani, Acharei Yisrael, Vahochiach Yisrael Acharai. How does it understand it? What does it mean, Acharai, after me? Is that Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Kaviyachol Moshe Hochichani. It's like Moshe Kaviyachol rebukes me, Acharei Yisrael, regarding Yisrael, Vahochiach Yisrael Acharai. And he rebukes Yisrael regarding me. Yisrael Amar Atem Chatasim Agomer. Because what did he say after Chet Egel? Right, he says Ata Chatasim. You guys sinned. The Kadosh Baruch Hu Amar Lama Hashem Yachara Pachal Amecha. Right, where do we know this term? Lama Hashem Yachara Pachal. So wait, Amecha. That's we have that from in the Tanis, Kriyas Torah for Tanis. Right, he says, "Well, Hashem, why are you getting angry? Why are you letting your anger flare against your nation?" So the Midrash is saying that's like rebuke. He was actually kind of kaviyachol rebuking Hashem. Mahu lama. So Amar Rav Yitzchak, this is what Rav Yitzchak says. Bishah sha'asu Yisrael as a egel, bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'chalos soneim shel Yisrael. At the time that the Jewish people worshipped the egel, or they made the egel, so Hashem wanted to destroy the soneim shel Yisrael, the enemies of Klal Yisrael. What does that mean?
Euphemism,
right? Lashon Naki doesn't mean he wants to kill the enemies of Klal Yisrael. It's just a nice way to say it. Omar, so nice, right? Omar Lay, Amar Le Moshe, Moshe said to him, Ribonu Shalom, Ha'egel Hazet, Tovu Le'Shayachalach, L'Shayalach. No, no, Hashem, you're getting angry at Klal Yisrael about the eagle, but really it's a great thing they did because the eagle can help you. Anybody ever heard this midrash before? Okay. Amar Le, because I didn't give you a copy, you don't believe me. You can try to check after this. It's Psikta Beis of Parsha Aleph in Dvar Rabbah. Amar Le HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mamasayali. Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. How does this help me? Amar Le Moshe, Im Atamorid Geshamim, Humafriach Talalin. Well, it's great. It can actually practically help you for a little, you know, sometimes you need a little help with weather control. So if you are Morid Geshamim, when you bring in the rain, Humafriach Talalin, you can like spread out the dew or something. Atamotseyes Aruchos, Vahu Asabrakim. You can take care of the winds, and he'll take care of lightning. This is going to be your right-hand man, a right-hand calf, right? Amar Leh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avata Toa Be'egel. You're making the same mistake. You think I need an assistant. The assistant's assistant, right? You think I need the assistant. Amar Lefanav, so look what he says back to him, Ribono Shalom, El Lama Hashem Yechara Apacha Be'amecha. Yeah, you're right, I did make the same. So why are you so angry at your nation? We made the same mistake. Don't be so mad. So that's really interesting. You know, we see a little bit of Mesiras Nefesh from Moshe Rabbeinu, a lot of putting himself on the line. We know this explicitly. How do we see explicitly that Moshe Rabbeinu puts himself on the line for Klal Yisrael? Breaking the Luchos, right? Which is like his, you know, Toras Moshe, he smashes it, right? What else? Also, but from Chet Egel.
Erase me from your Torah.
Erase me, wipe me out from the Torah. I'll put myself on the line. Take me out of this. So we see Mesiras Nefesh from Moshe Rabbeinu, and we also see that when Hashem is talking to when Moshe is talking to Hashem, it's kaviyach la rebuke. Lo ma Hashem yacharat avakav amecha. Well, Yisrael who Omer atem chatasim chata gedola. You guys did a big sin. When he talks to Hashem, he says, Hashem, it's such an easy mistake, I even made it. And when he talks to the Klal Yisrael, he says, you guys messed up big time. You made a really big mistake. Omar Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Simon, Mashal Lamahadavardama, Lamelech Shakas al Ishto, king got upset at his wife, Tarfa Hotsiami Beso, sends her out of the house, Shamaba Hashoshvinin. His Shoshvinin, that's why they describe this. I guess the Shoshvinin are typically described as like the groomsmen. I think that's the best translation. Like the close friends who might have even, who are probably involved in the shidduch or the wedding arrangements. So they heard about this. Ho choitz al melech, and they went to the king and said, Vamru lo, ha more kach odam osa l'ishto ma'asa l'cha. Right, this is how you're acting. What did she really do to you? It's not a big deal. So Hochul Etzlan, they go back to her. Until when are you going to anger your husband such a way? So right, so he's basically like going back and forth to the two parties and minimizing the offense, trying to make peace. And that's so that's one interpretation of this pasuk in Mishlei, Mochiach Adam Acharai. That they, right, you're rebuking after me. So one interpretation we mentioned, we didn't go into so much in depth, is that you rebuke people to follow after me. But this new interpretation, no, he also rebukes Hashem Kaviyachal, that he speaks in one way to Hashem and another way to Klal Yisrael. And I think there's a real place for this in our own Avodas Hashem, in our own tefillah, you know, to when we're trying to daven. First of all, and when we are actually, you know, giving tochacha and rebuke and teaching. And there's a place for realizing what you know the sins that someone does. Like if we let's say there's, it's a little bit complicated, very complicated. When and how to give rebuke, but there is a place for that. And then when you're talking to Hashem and you're davening on Elohim's behalf, you don't bring up people's sins. You try to find the good and try. And lama Hashem echar apacha ba'amecha. Trying to when you're davening, so you kind of come from that from the other end. We have that in regards to our relationship and our conversations with Hashem. But also just in general in our human relationships that people have, to kind of go from both sides and fix things from both ends. And I'm sure everybody, just the way it is, you're working with other people. So you know, whether it's co-counselors or members of your team or your department, whatever it is. So and interdepartment conversations, that there's just always, you know, something comes up and some beef and some strife, and these things, like they happen all the time. And when you come in to mediate, so it really needs to be, to some degree, there should be a separate point where you just try to minimize, you know, you can't brush real problems under the rug, you have to fix things, but to be able to be like Moshe Rabbeinu over here, I mean, Hashem knows, right? He's giving Hashem rebuke, but he steps in and tries to minimize from this end, minimize from that end, and hopefully everyone can meet in the middle and be able to rebuild a relationship. And that's something that it's I think very, very practical, and for what we're trying to accomplish here. Okay, I want to move on to a couple more midrashim I want to take a look at. Psikda Dalid. Just find it. We put it after Gimel. Perfect. Love when they do that. Okay. Dabar acher. Eila hadvarim. These are the words. Amar v'acha v'arichnina. Ruyos hayu atokakos lomar mipi bilam. V'habrachos mipi Moshe. It would have been much more fitting for the tochacha to come from Bilam and for the brachos to come from Moshe. Okay. Well, pretty recently we saw Parshas Balak. Wasn't so long ago. Matzah Masa was even combined, so, which I think, I don't know. I try not to have tens against Hashem, but I mentioned this. Like, I don't know how it's fair to have a world where there's Matos and Matos Masa together during the summer. It's really, it's a killer, no? Longest double part of it. It's just really hard. Okay. Still trying to catch up on some of my limudim Matos Masa. Anyway, but again, no tennis. So we just had Balak not so long ago, and we have we have brachos from Bilam, Rasha, and we have tochacha from Moshe Rabbeinu, and Eila Dvarim. We know Chazal understand it. I mean, even explicitly, just Chazal point out it's even stronger, but explicitly he's giving Musar. So why is it that seems like the roles are reversed? Bilam should be rebuking us, and Moshe should be blessing us. Ela ilo hochicham Bilam, because you know why? Because if Bilam would have rebuked them, Hayu Yisrael Omrim, Sone Mochichenu. Because Palestine would have said, right, our Sone, our enemy, the one who hates us, is rebuking us. And then what would happen to the rebuke? Brush it off. Oh, of course, he says it, right? Someone complains about something. Who's the one who is complaining? Oh, he was complaining? Oh, okay. Right? Oh, he always complains. He'll never have a good thing to say. And then you brush it off. Right? It doesn't touch you. But if Moshe Rabbeinu, so if Bilam comes along, yeah, he gives him a rebuke. Okay, oh yeah, right. Mr. One-eyed Billy coming and trying to speak against us again and insult. Okay, listen. Thanks a lot, Bilam. Oh, great, you know, take that. That's such an interesting suggestion. Please write it and put it in the suggestion box right over there in the corner right by the door, please. So that's what the reaction would have been. And conversely, same idea. Vilu Barachim Moshe, if Moshe would have blessed them, which he does, it's also bracha, but at least over here, Hayu Umas Omrim Ovan Baracha. So the Umas Om would have said, Oh, right, okay, yeah. Of course, Moses is going to bless them. He took responsibility for it. He's from them. He's one of the Jewish people. He took them out of Egypt. He was, like, leading them the whole time. So, of course, he's going to give them blessings. He's going to praise them. He's going to say, oh, wow, this is a special nation. Okay, very nice. Of course, Moses says that. So what now? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yochichan Moshe Sha'ovan, Bivarachan Bilam Shesonan. So Hashem says, you know what? Let the one who loves them, Moshe, rebuke them, and let the one who hates them, Bilam, bless them, Kidei Sheyisbaru HaBrachos HaTochos B'Yad Yisrael, so that the brachos and the tochachos, the blessings and the admonitions, should be in the hands of Klal Yisrael. Interesting, right? As we see over here, Hashem wants us to have brachos and to have tochachos. He wants us to be praised, and he wants us to be rebuked when necessary, and he wants it to be pure. He doesn't want it to be ignored or dismissed. He wants what's said to be about Klal Yisrael to be true. The good, the bad, the ugly. All of that should be true and appreciated to the fullest extent. So Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be the one to give them a rebuke, and then they're going to take it seriously. Because, you know, if Moshe Rabbeinu loves us, okay, we're gonna take that seriously. And Bilam is going to praise them so that people can look at them and say, wow, even Bilam could, there's nothing else he could do but praise them. So it's very interesting. I was learning in Targum Yonasan, just today I was finishing some Targum Yonasan on Balak. And I just noticed that when it calls, when Bilam says his Nevuos in Parshas Balak, so Targum Yonasan calls him Bilam Risha, which means Bilam Harasha, that even when he's praising Klal Yisrael in his Nevuos, where he couldn't hold back and saying Matov Alecha Yaakov, even when he's praising him, the Targum Yonasan calls him Bilam Harasha. Not even say, oh, that moment he was a tzaddik. No. Even in his Rishos, he was praising them. And I think that's the same idea over here, that we're saying that we want it to come from the Rasha. We want it to come from Bilam, the Rasha, when he's being a Rasha, and even then he can't contain himself and stop praising Klal Yisrael. This also makes us think, hopefully, is the importance of if you want to be able to give Moser, if you want to be able to give praises, so it kind of depends a little bit who you are, in a certain regard, right? If you want if you want the Moser to be received properly, so if you're the guy who has a bad relationship with somebody else, or you're always the Moser guy, so no one's going to listen to you. But if you're not always the Musar guy, if you're the guy who walks around and gives a Milat Tova when you can, right? Do you guys hear the Milat Tova phrase? This is not so much. No. What? Not here. Yeah. Dr. Benji is very big. I'm also. Dr. Benji was always like Milat Tova, and like just to say a good word. If you're the Milat Tova guy, if you're the guy who goes around, you know, giving positive feedback, thanking someone, showing Kar Tov, just going around saying good things, then when you give Musar, people are more quick to be makabel it. But if you're always the Musar guy, or you're always the guy who has a rocky relationship with the potential suspected candidate for Musar, if you have a rocky relationship, it's not going to be received well. And, I mean, I wouldn't say that you should definitely dafka become the enemy if you want to give a compliment. Like, I'm going to always insult him so that when I give a compliment, he'll really believe it. You know, I wouldn't go that far. But I guess there is a place for those type of people, too, in the world. And now we're going to see this a similar concept, a little bit in a slightly different direction, but similar concept. So we'll go further here. Davar acher, another pshat. If another one would have rebuked them, they would say, this guy is rebuking me. It's really similar. Moshe, about who said about himself, honestly and correctly, no one challenged him, I didn't even take a donkey from Klal Yisrael. I didn't even take a donkey from them. Right? Normally, if you're doing, right, if a government official, and he is doing a certain job, so his limo is sponsored, right? is aircraft one is sponsored by we the people, grammatically by us the people, right? That's who it's sponsored by. So you would expect that Moshe can at least tax everybody enough, tax everybody half a penny, to buy his own donkey so that he could do official business on the donkey. But he didn't even take that. So for Moshe, it's appropriate to get rebuke. This guy who's so honest and who's so pure, and who has no ulterior motive in giving us Musar, doesn't take anything for himself. So he has a good standing in order to give us Musar. Also, an important point is that, you know, when we give Musar, so when we have other things wrong with us, then it's hard for people to want to listen to us. Like, you know, you really should be be showing up for chakras. So, yeah, you know, yeah, but you should be showing up for mincha. You know, if they can give that response to you, or in other areas, so it's much harder to be able to give musar. We're not looking around to give musar, but we want to know what's gonna work. So when people are lacking and they're stealing donkeys and by themselves, it's a lot harder for people to receive the musar. Debracher, ilo acher omer ata yadati higadol Hashem vegomer hayomer mze omer ata yadati. So this is Yisro. We're going to see other examples of people being able to make certain statements because of who they were. So in Parshas Yisro, Yisro says ata yadati higadol Hashem vegomer. Now I know that I have become that Hashem is so great among every other god. So what does anyone know how Chazal understand that phrase? When Yisro says, "Now I know that Hashem is greater than every other god," yeah,
because he knew every other god.
Right, he was holding. Right, Yisro's been around town, so he's Chazal say he tried basically every form of Avodah Zarah known to man and a few known to aliens, and you know there was and he said now I know, so. Midrash says, "Hayu omrim." So, ilu acher omer atayidati. If somebody else would have said that, right? If I don't know, I wouldn't even give Moshe Rabbeinu anybody else. So, anybody else to say that? So, hayu omrim ze omer atayidati. This guy, this FFB, who's never even heard the word television in his life. And he's never this, and I never seen that, never exposed to this, never exposed to that. And he's going to say, "Ah, now I finally see this is the greatest thing of all time." Okay, that doesn't really mean much. From Yisro, oh wow, Yisro, he's saying this. Oh, this is impressive. That's a statement. I think it's a little bit of chizuk, right? Elo Yisro, shahaya yodeya, shechazar al kol batei avodah zarah sheba olam. Yisro, he knew. He was a Jew who knew. He had become a Jew who knew. I don't know at this point. Whatever, it's a discussion. Right, but he experienced every avodah zarah, and he saw that lo matzah behem mamish. He didn't find any substance in any of them. V'achar kach ba v'nisgayer lezeh na'el lo maratay dati v'gomer. It's very fitting for him to be able to say such a thing. I think it's big chizuk. Definitely for me, and for anybody, if you, whatever you might have experienced in your background that is not necessarily on par where you're holding spiritually nowadays, but that's something that you actually have to your credit, right? If you have like for an example, so hopefully we should be joined by him soon, Nissan Black, right? So he's got a story, right? And there's certain things that he could say, and I could say, and we could say the exact same thing. And when he says it, it is so much more meaningful because of where he comes from. Right? So we were just talking about him. He's not coming today. So that's okay. Keep going with you. That's all. I hope so. I don't know. What? So, like, he could say something because he says, I tell you, Dati. Well, he's been around. He's been in success and fame in the music business, and he gave it up originally. I mean, he was still giving up, but he gave it up for Hashem. He's tried multiple religions and branches within, and then says, "I tell you that." So there's certain things that he can say that I can't say, and there's certain things that that I've experienced and things that I've seen and things that I've been a part of that many people have not been. And also, you know, I could say, well, you know, I've experienced this, right? Some people that, you know, grew up in a very sheltered existence and never, you know, heard the word television. Then have someone else who says, listen, you know, I once, for me, like I once heard of the word television, right? So I could say, well, yeah, I heard of the word television, but I've also seen, you know, learning or whatever, and now that's meaningful. Meaning, I could take what I have with me, and that actually builds certain statements that I say and gives more power to them. So if that's chizuk for anybody, take it, please. Dabar acher, similarly, but that's not what dabar acher means. But dabar acher, but this is similar. Ilo acher omer hevel havalim. Who says hevel havalim? Hevel havalim. Shlomo Melech. In Koheles. Or right, Koheles says it. Chazal says Shlomo Melech. Hevel havalim hayu omrim ze ein right. Hevel havalim omrim ze ein lo pruta lechol. Who omer hevel havalim? Somebody else would have said it. Right? Oh, please! Everything is vanity, right? So, like, you know, someone living in a two bedroom apartment with five kids, six kids, and he says, you know, oh, the Hollywood havel havolim, it's worth nothing. So riches, huh? We're so much happier in our situation. Okay, so you know what they're saying? Who is this guy who says anything? Ela Shlomo, but Shlomo Melech says such a thing. When Shlomo Melech says, right, Shlomo, Shekosuv bo, V'yitena Melech as a kesef Yerushalayim ka'avonim. In Shlomo Melech's time, silver was ka'avonim. It was like stones. What does that mean? It was like stones.
Just like stones and rocks on the ground are worthless.
Valueless, worthless. Right? Because gold was where it was at. There was like you would walk in, you hand some silver, like investing in silver. Ha! No, sorry, brother. We do gold here. This is the time of Shlomo Melech. Shlomo Melech was so wealthy that he was so wealthy and successful that the entire country basically like ignored silver during his reign. So for someone like that, it's very fitting that he says havel havalim, that everything else. So Shlomo Melech, that's what's so powerful about Koheles. That's what Koheles is. That's what he's saying. That's his whole thing. He's saying, I experienced every worldly pleasure, pursuit of you know, physical indulgence in eating and drinking and music and relaxation and wealth and even wisdom and laughter and joking and a good time and comedy shows, and I tried all of these things and I had everything in the world available to me, and havel havalim, that's a statement. That's powerful. Dabar acher ilo acher omer hakol asa yafe beito hayu omrim ze lo achol meuma miyamav v'hu omer asa kol asa yafe beito. Right. So he also says in Koheles, everything is good in its time. So yeah, you know who says that? The guy who doesn't really, who can only get certain things in certain times. Who doesn't, if something's out of season, you don't have access to it. So you say, you know what, it's good to have this in this time. Good to have watermelons in this season, strawberries in this season. It's good. We don't live in such a world anymore. You know, for those living in America, we don't really have such a thing. In fact, Rav Schechter says regarding the Shechianu on new fruits. Right, so you know the whole idea of a new, what do you mean? Why do you say a shechianu on new fruits? So the idea is that you come to a certain seasonal fruits that you haven't seen in a year, and you made it to a new season, and this fruit finally comes out. So you make a shechianu. So like nowadays, look what access, you know, everything's accessible. There's barely seasons anymore. You can get anything in seasons, or pomegranate, or whatever, you know, whatever. You can get all fruits all times of the year. That's a push that that's going to be your big shechianu and your simchat shechianu for Rosh Hashanah through the second night. So, but back in the day, so maybe that's who's saying it. No, but Ela Shlomo shekasuv bo v'kakolol nitzavim eila v'gomer v'lo yadru davar. Nothing is missing from him. My v'lo yadru davar. Rechamim v'rechaninah shayim avin lo tardin v'yamos achama. They brought beets in the summertime. Can you imagine such a thing? Can you imagine beets in the summer? What a life. What a life. Cucumbers in the winter, beets in the summer. Can't be beat, right? When we read this, to just appreciate our own wealth, how blessed we are to live in a time of such prosperity, despite the inflation and the challenges and yeshiva tuition prices and things like that. But the prosperity we live in is mind-blowing. Like, it's saying Shlomo HaMelech was zoche to winter cucumbers and summer beets. So it's just like, wow. Now, we have indoor plumbing. So, right, so Zela, Lomar, I saw Yafa, and still, for Shlomo HaMelech to say he had access to everything at all times, and he said, you know what, but everything in this time is proper, that's a meaningful statement. And I think there's two more maybe. Right, Davar Acher, Ilo Acher, Omer V'chol Dairei Ara Kala Chashivin Kamatzev Avad V'chol Shemaya V'gomer. This is in Sefer Daniel. It's Nebuchadnezzar praising everything that Hashem had, that praising Hashem's mastery. Hayu Omrim Zesh Lo Shalat Al Sheni Zvuvin Al Shnev Zvuvin Miyamav. So people would have said, if anybody else other than Nebuchadnezzar would have said this, they would have said, this guy who never ruled over two flies in his life. Right. This guy never ruled over two flies in his life. And he's talking about how great Hashem's mastery is. Okay. Nebuchadnezzar. Right, sounds like Karibon. Karibon is based on this, right? Right, Bnei Anasha, Chayos Bara Va'Of Shemaya, Yahiv Biadcha. So what? Rub down. V'Shatcha V'Chulahon. Right, but regarding Nebuchadnezzar, who had control over man and beast and birds and right and Lazen No Alomar V'Chol Dairei Ara Kala Chashivin. So Nebuchadnezzar, for him to be able to be humbled and say, I rule over everything. And really, Hashem rules over everything. That's a powerful statement. All right, some Nebuch Jew being beaten down by, enemy X in Klal Yisrael's history. Okay, I mean it's also meaningful. It's also powerful. But it's a different type of statement when it comes from someone like Nebuchadnezzar, who had mastery of everything, and then at least at one point was humbled to say such a thing. Davar Acher, another shot. Ilo Acher Omer. Hatsur tamim palo. How you right? So if anybody else would have said hatsur tamim palo, his actions are the actions of the rock are complete. How you omrim zeina yadeya tova shalmina sadin v'hu omer hatsur tamim palo. This is somebody. This is somebody who knows the goodness or who does not know the goodness of midas adin. So he says hatsur tamim palo. Yeah, right, if things are going well for you, and then you say okay, yeah, that sounds great. El Moshe shekasuv bo yodeya darachav, yodeya darachav Moshe. So Moshe, who knew Hashem's ways, lezed na lomar atzur tamim palo. For Moshe Rabbeinu to say such a thing, who knew the ways of Hashem and also experienced midas hadin from Hashem, and from that situation, so Moshe has a very very valuable statement. And what we see from here, this midrash is similar to the previous one in a certain regard, which is that. Sometimes with the mussar that you give, it doesn't matter as much sometimes the words you say, but rather who is saying it, who is giving the mussar. And sometimes that's an important point because maybe there's mussar to give, but you realize that you're not the right person to do it. Maybe the person's friend is, or a person who has been in some other situation that would be more helpful for it. To give the mussar rather than you, but also just to realize what type of mussar you can be empowered to give. And no one's supposed to walk out of this shir, just walking around, who's my next victim for my mussar? But the idea is that when we say mussar, we don't mean condescending and disrespectful. We mean that trying to say things that will be received to help people grow, and knowing your past, knowing your status. Knowing your experiences could be very, very helpful for the statement that you're saying. And if you are rich, or you have experienced success in a certain regard, or you've experienced midas hadin in a certain regard. Right? You know what's really powerful? When somebody, whenever I've been able to see this, somebody who experienced serious challenges and serious tragedies, and when they say that Hashem is good, so that's a much more powerful thing than when someone who has not experienced such challenges and tragedies say Hashem is good. And you should take all these experiences in your life, any tragedies or challenges, any experiences that maybe you regret or you don't even want to bring up, and it's the right time and place to do it. But to take those and use those as fuel for the Musar, but the words of Chizuk that you can give to other people to help them grow, because a lot of the time it's not the words itself, but it's the person who's giving it and how they're giving it. And if you are the friend, and if you are the master of the Milah Tovah, and you are the one who gives the Chizuk and who gives the encouragement, then you have more of a standing to be able to give Musar when it needs to be given. And with all the experiences that you have, you can take those and use those as fuel. You could have that Yisro, Nebuchadnezzar, Shlomo HaMelech, Moshe Rabbeinu impact. Sorry to list Nebuchadnezzar with the rest of them. But you can have that impact and give greater weight to your words based on those experiences, but it requires you to think about those experiences and think about everything you've gone through in your life and try to use them as part of your toolbox. This is part of the idea of the Gemara Brachos and elsewhere as well, says that the tzaddik, the Baal Tshuva, stands in a place that even tzaddik and gemurim can't stand. So what does that mean? Is it greater? No, it means that there's a different role that a Baal Tshuva is able to play because of what they've experienced. That right, like the tzaddik gemur cannot say, you know what, I fell really, really hard and I did this type of drug and I watched this kind of thing and now I'm here. So that's a certain place that a tzaddik gemur can't do that. But a Baal Tshuva, depending on which Baal Tshuva, can do that kind of thing. So you bring it with you. You bring that, you store those experiences and those challenges and that midas hadin you've experienced, and you put that in your toolbox and use it to advance the world forward in their connection with Hashem. And that'll be that'll be helpful for you in your giving Musar, and hopefully when you do that, to be able to try to receive Musar properly, and we should be zocha to be anshei dvarim. Yeah, thank you for coming.